Welcome to the Short Term Show, the show about short-term rentals and long-term wealth, with real property owners hosting real properties who are crushing it in the vacation and short-term rental space. And here's your host, Avery Carl.
I hear so many investors every single day talking about cash on cash return or cash flow. And these are very important metrics when it comes to investing in not only vacation rentals or Airbnbs or short-term rentals, but any kind of real estate. How much money is that property going to put in your pocket in cash at the end of the year? That is how you quit your job. So I understand why that is so important to everyone. And it was very important to me when I started. It's still important to me 250 properties later. But what I want to show you guys today is I think that some of you might be losing sight of the forest for the trees. And I want to show you three ways that you generate wealth through owning a piece of real estate other than cash flow or cash on cash return. Now, I want to make sure that you guys understand that I'm not saying that cash flow is not important. It is very important. It's probably the most important part of investing in real estate. But I just want to make sure that you guys are always looking at the whole picture and not just chasing cash on cash return and passing up what could be really good deals in search of the most perfect deal in the history of real estate investing. So without further ado, let's get started.
Fear not saturation. When you are the cream of the crop, you will rise to the top. Come learn from me, the best in the business, voted 19-time world's greatest landlord, Luke Cashflow Carl, at stsplus.com, where you will learn to be the best in your field and the world's greatest landlord. We are teaching all the best practices in the world of vacation rentals, and we would love for you to join today at stsplus.com.
A lot of you are watching on YouTube, but a lot of you are just listening on the podcast platforms because this is going to be airing as an episode of the Short Term Show. So if you're listening on the podcast platforms, be sure to check out the spreadsheets that we're using on the YouTube. But I am going to give enough commentary to where this makes sense enough that you can listen to it on the way to work without being confused without watching. So let's take an example property. Let's say we are buying a hypothetical two-bedroom property in one of the big vacation rental markets. Let's say that property costs about $500,000 and we're going to put 20% down. So 20% down of $500,000 is $100,000. So that is our investment. So when we're talking about return on investment later in the video, we're not talking about the return on the $500,000 purchase price. We're talking about the return on what we're actually putting into the property, which is $100,000 worth of investment. We could get in the weeds here if we wanted to about the cost to furnish a property or the cost to rehab a property. But to make this example easy, we're going to assume that this property comes furnished and doesn't need any rehab, which is pretty common in vacation rental markets. So we've got a two bedroom that's fully furnished, doesn't need a lot of rehab. We're paying $500,000 for it, putting 20% down, which equals $100,000. We're also going to assume that this property will gross. So guys, gross means all money's coming in. We are working with gross here. Gross should be a two bedroom in a lot of markets should be able to gross about 70,000, depends on where you are. But for this example, we're going to use 70,000. Now, I've plugged in this property into just the banking rate mortgage calculator, bankingrate.com. And I've used a 7% interest rate. So the annual debt service, or basically your annual mortgage payment on this property, is $32,000. So we've got 70,000 gross, then we've got 32,000 in mortgage expense. Next, we have our other expenses. So these are any other expenses that you have for running the property outside of the mortgage. So these are in addition to. Now, a quick rule of thumb that I use if I don't know those numbers offhand is 35% of my gross income should go to other expenses outside of the mortgage. So if we're using this rule of thumb, 35% of my gross income, which is 70,000, will be $24,500 in expenses. So we've got $70,000 gross minus $32,000 in mortgage and $24,500 in other expenses, which leaves us with an annual cash flow of $13,500. Now, I know that doesn't sound like a lot when you compare it to a $500,000 property, but the $500,000 is not your investment. Your investment is $100,000. So that annual cash flow gives you a cash on cash return of a little over 13.5%. I know that 13.5% cash on cash return doesn't sound too exciting when you think about the pre-COVID cash on cash return numbers you were able to get with vacation rentals. Now that the market is stabilized and the asset class has stabilized, which really needed to happen, by the way, stabilization of an asset class is a good thing. 13.5, not super exciting, but it's not terrible. So let's look, now that we've got our annual cash flow, let's talk about the other three ways that you generate wealth through owning this asset. Now, if we come over here to my second spreadsheet, we have a list of all the ways that you're generating wealth through owning a piece of real estate. So we've only talked about so far this top one, cash flow. And we have three other ways to generate wealth. And we're going to talk about appreciation first. So number one is appreciation. So that means the value of your piece of real estate increasing over time. The national average for real estate appreciation in the USA is 3%. Now, we know as real estate investors and real estate agents that real estate is not national. Real estate is very regional. It's very market specific. So what's going on in Cleveland, Ohio is not what's going on in Phoenix, Arizona. So this average, keep in mind, includes all of the high appreciation areas like coastal areas that sometimes get over 10%, sometimes over 20% on crazy years. So keep that in mind. It also includes the Midwest, which gets less than 1%. So keep that in mind too. But for this example, we're going to use the national average of 3%. You can get the appreciation for your specific market though by asking your real estate agent to run a report on the MLS to see what the appreciation has been over the past few years. So I highly recommend that so that when you do this analysis on your own properties, you get a more accurate number on that appreciation. So if we multiply our $500,000 purchase price times a 3% national average in appreciation, we get $15,000. That's not bad for 1 year. So we've appreciated from $500,000 to $515,000 over the course of a year. And if we put that $15,000 in appreciation over our initial $100,000 investment, we get an additional 15% in return on investment. Sorry, I keep scooting over my sheet here. So now we established earlier that we have a 13.5% cash on cash return, and we are going to add that to our 15% appreciation over the year. So now we have 13.5 plus 15% to on our way to our total return on investment on this property. All right, so you've got your cash flow and your cash on cash return, which is how much the property is generating in cash after expenses every year. Then next, you've got your appreciation, which is how much the property is increasing in value over the course of your ownership annually. And then third, we have debt pay down. So the second way outside of cash flow to build wealth through owning a piece of real estate is debt pay down. What is debt pay down? Well, it's the payment of the principal of your mortgage. And who is paying that? Not you. Your guests are paying that. The money from their rental dollars is paying the mortgage on your property. Now, how do you find what this is? Because if our mortgage, remember, is $32,000 a year, that is not our debt pay down. We're not paying down $32,000 a year because a lot of that is interest. Not all of that is going to the principal. So I did. There's a really easy way to find this, and I'm showing an example of it now on my screen. But if you go to bankrate.com to their mortgage calculator, they do have an amortization schedule breakdown. And so I've plugged all the numbers from this property into that amortization schedule, and you can see how much principal and how much interest is being paid each month of the year that you're looking at. So the debt pay down, the principal only pay down
on this property annually.
Doesn't sound like much. $4,400, like $4,471, a little under $5,000. If we take that $4,471, put it over our $100,000 initial investment, that gives us 4.47% to add to our running return on investment tally that we're doing here. So to keep you up, if you are listening on the podcast, we now have cash on cash return at 13.5%. Then we're adding then the appreciation of 15% to that. And then next, we're adding our 4.47% debt pay down to our return on investment tally. Now, this next one is the hardest one to understand if you're new to this, but it can be the most powerful. So the third way and the most powerful way to generate wealth through owning a piece of real estate is depreciation. Now, don't let appreciation and depreciation confuse you, because they're not the same thing. Depreciation does not mean that the property is losing value over time and that eventually your property will be worth zero. Depreciation, we only use in terms of talking about taxes. So real estate tends to appreciate. It tends to trend upward in value. Yes, there will be some blips, but over time, when you zoom out, it always trends upward. Now, depreciation is only about taxes. So not about value. Appreciation is in terms of value. Depreciation is only to be used in terms of taxes. Now, I'm going to be careful here. I'm going to give you a little disclaimer. I am not a CPA. You must talk to your CPA about depreciation, but I'm going to tell you what I know about it as a layman who uses this tax strategy all the time. Now's a good time to point you to all of the very many great episodes that we have on the short-term rental tax loophole, which we're going to get to in a second, but we've got some really great CPAs who've come on and talked about that. Amanda Hahn has been on several times, so we'll put the links below for you to listen to that or watch it on YouTube. But let's talk about appreciation. Now that I've done a good job of directing you towards CPAs, we also, Ryan Bakey's been on. We've had several CPAs come on and talk about the power of depreciation.
If you like what you're hearing, if you're picking up what I'm putting down, you can join me on a live weekly call. Talk about your next short-term rental or ask questions about the one you already have. I am live once per week on Zoom. I would love to have you come and say hello. It's strquestions.com. That's strquestions.com. Come and join us. This episode is brought to you by Short-Term Shop Plus. Are you looking for someone to help you analyze a deal? Do you want instant access to lectures on management and short-term rental success? Join Short-Term Shop Plus for all of your vacation rental needs. STS Plus is open to the public and offered for the first time at a tremendous value. Also included is world-famous Management Monday, a weekly live session with everything you need to know about setting up your property and learning how to manage from a distance. Join today at stsplus.com. That's stsplus.com.
All right, so when we're doing depreciation, and again, I am not a CPA, so if I make a mistake, don't fault me for it. I am but a real estate agent, not a CPA. But I do use this strategy all the time, and here's how it works. So you have the total price of the property, total value of the property at $500,000. Now we split that into two segments, the value of the land and the value of the improvements. So improvements are anything that has been built on the land to, quote, improve it. So that would be, in this case, the house or any pools, pool houses, things like that. Depending on where you are in the country, there will be a different percentage of land value or improvement value. So I'm using a 20% land value and 80% improvement value. This is just for the sake of this example. In some areas where the land value is really high, like beach markets, the land itself is worth a ton. Mountain markets, the land itself not worth so much. So you're going to have a much higher improvement to land value in a mountain market and a lower improvement to land value in a beach market, just based on the value of what the land is. There are lots of ways to get into the weeds on this that we are not going to do right now in terms of being strategic about where you buy, in terms of buying places that have a higher improvement value than land value. Again, I'm going to direct you to our Amanda Hahn and Ryan Bakey episodes for that. Right now, we're just going to use, for this example, 20% land value and an 80% improvement value. So $500,000 property, land value would be $100,000 and improvement value would be $400,000. You unfortunately don't get to depreciate $400,000. The IRS has said, I don't know why they've chosen this number, but the annual depreciation, you can depreciate a property over 27 and a half years. This is a residential. It's a different number if it's commercial. Just keep that in mind. So $400,000 improvement value over 27 and a half years gives you a $14,545,000 annual depreciation. Now, again, you don't get to depreciate that whole $14,545. It depends on what tax bracket you're in. Now, the average tax bracket in the United States is 22%. So that is the number that I'm going to use. So if we're in the 22% tax bracket, without bonus depreciation, we're going to get to that in a minute. I know a lot of you are jumping ahead of me and don't do that. This is for the people who are not there yet. So $14,545, which is our $400,000 land value over 27 and a half years, $14,545 at a 22% tax bracket, you are allowed to depreciate $3,200 this year. So let's go back to our depreciation here. So now we're back looking at our tally of our return on investment that has cash flow, appreciation, debt pay down. Now we're on depreciation. So we've got our $3,200 here that we can depreciate. We put that $3,200 over our initial $100,000 investment to get this piece of our return on investment tally. So that adds an additional 3.2% to our return on investment. So now we are adding together our 13.5% cash on cash return, our 15% appreciation, our 4.47% debt pay down, and our 3.2% depreciation. Now, I am going to, before I give you the final total return on investment of all those added together, we're going to jump back to depreciation really quick. Short-term rentals have a very specific tax strategy that you can only use if you're buying a short-term rental. The strategy works for everyone, but it's especially valuable to those who are very high income earners, doctors, attorneys, what have you. And it is called bonus depreciation. Again, I'm not a CPA. Refer back to our Amanda Hahn and Ryan Bakey and Brandon Hall episodes to really understand truly what the short-term rental loophole is. But I'm going to give you the best analysis that I can, again, as a lowly real estate agent who is also a high earner. Bonus depreciation. Instead of stretching out that depreciation number over 27 and a half years, so that $14,545 a year for 27 and a half years, we're just scooting all of that depreciation over to year one. So up until a couple years ago, you could do what was called 100% bonus depreciation. So instead of, if you're at that 22% tax bracket where we are allowed to depreciate $3,200 a year for 27 and a half years, if you scoot that whole 27 and a half years worth of $3,200 a year, you get $88,000 that you do not have to pay in taxes on year one. That is an insane amount of money, guys, especially like if this is your first property, to not have to pay, you know, to be able to deduct $88,000 from your W-2 job. If you, again, I don't want to get too in the weeds on real estate professional status. Typically, this strategy is only available for people who are full-time in real estate, which means that they can prove to the IRS that they spend more time working in real estate than they do on their W-2 jobs. This particular strategy, the short-term rental loophole, allows you to use this without having real estate professional strategy. Now, there are some criteria that you have to meet. Again, refer back to Amanda Hahn, Ryan Bakey, and Brandon Hall episodes. But this is very, very powerful. So 100% bonus depreciation knocks off $88,000 of your taxes, or $88,000 less taxable income for year one. Now, unfortunately, 100% bonus depreciation does not exist anymore. Is it going to come back? Probably. There have been some bills introduced that made it. I think they made it all the way through the House, did not make it through the Senate, but they are going to be reintroduced. And I'm pretty confident it's coming back. But right now, at the end of 2024, we have 60% bonus depreciation. So instead of that 88,000 number, we still get a pretty good number at 52,000. So 52,000 in bonus depreciation. That's at that 60% number, because 100% we don't have right now. So instead of just being able to deduct $3,200 a year, you're able to deduct $52,000. And you're only able to do that the first year. So you don't get to do $52,000 every single year. You're scooting all of that 27 and a half years worth of $3,200 a year to the front at 60% instead of 100%. So hopefully I haven't just completely confused you, but this, guys, is why the depreciation piece, the tax piece, is the most valuable wealth building tool when it comes to owning a vacation rental. So it's a hell of a lot more than $13,500 a year in it. So to recap for people who are listening and who can't see these charts, we're looking at our total return on investment percentage. And there are four things that contribute to that. Cash flow, which is what we talked about at the beginning, that a lot of you are so hung up on that you can't see the rest of it. And that's okay. I've been there. I do it myself sometimes. And then we're looking at the three other major ways to build wealth through owning real estate. So we've got all these listed in a row. We've got all the percentages that are going to add up to our total return on investment on this $500,000 property. So we have our total annual cash flow, $13,500. That is 13.5% cash on cash return. We then have our appreciation, which at 3% national average adds another $15,000 to the value of our property each year. That is a 15% return. So we're adding that to the 13. Then we have debt pay down. That's the amount that the principal of your mortgage is being paid by your guests every year. A little over $4,400. We add another 4.47% to our return on investment. And last, depreciation. We are only using the $3,200 a year stretched out over 27 and a half years. So that is an additional 3.2% to add to our return on investment. Now, I am going to put a big star, a big red star here around depreciation, because like we talked about all on the other chart, all of the opportunity there is with bonus depreciation and using the short-term rental tax loophole to significantly increase your tax savings on this. But for this example, we're just going to use that 3.2% number, because if I went crazy and used that 52,000 number, the return on investment is going to look insane. And I want you to guys to be realistic about things. So anyway, just using that $3,200 a year regular depreciation, not adding bonus depreciation in there. Now, our total dollar amount return on investment of this $500,000 property that we put down 20%, $100,000, is $36,171 is our total return on investment. Now, that's not all cash, guys. Let's remember, it's only $13,500 of it is cash. The rest is appreciation, debt pay down, and depreciation, which is technically, for lack of a better word, tax savings. Now, what does that do to our return on investment? 36.17% return on investment. So guys, again, that is your cash flow or your cash on cash return, your appreciation, the increase in value of the property, your debt pay down, what your guests are paying down on your principal of your mortgage, and depreciation, which again, we're going to call tax savings. So $36,171 comes out to a 36.17% return on investment. And if you'll notice, these three
non-cash on cash return numbers
are significantly higher than what the cash on cash return alone is. So cash on cash return, 13.5%. You're already at a higher return on appreciation than you are on your cash on cash return. So you've got 15% appreciation and then adding another roughly 8% on debt pay down and depreciation. So what's 15 plus 8? 23%. And when you look at it like that, cash on cash return, 13, all of the other things combined, about 23%. They're actually way more valuable than just that cash on cash return number. Now, again, I would never say that cash on cash return or cash flow are not important, because they are, because you're going to have to do things to this property. You're going to have to buy more properties. We don't buy real estate to not make cash. But I just want you guys to understand the importance of all of these other wealth building tools and not get so hung up on cash return that you forget about the rest of them. So hopefully this has made things a little bit easier for y'all to understand. If you like this video, please, please let me know below. Please subscribe if you get a chance, because the more subscribers that we have, the better off we are. The more subscribers that we have, the more videos that I can put out for you guys to help kind of decode real estate investing, how to invest in vacation rentals, Airbnbs, all of those things. Super happy to help. You can reach me. All my contact info is below. You can reach me if you have any questions on anything. And if I screwed up any numbers, guys, I'm not a mathematician. I'm just a person, just a real estate agent. Especially if I screwed up any tax stuff, let me know, but please be nice. And if you don't like me, if you've unsubscribed, please resubscribe and I'll try to do better. Anyway, thank you guys. Hit up the short-term shop if you want to buy any vacation rentals across the country, theshorttermshop.com. I am out.